If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'm always endeavoring to make things as simple as possible. So that everyone can understand the Word of God, because you can only apply what you understand. If it becomes complicated, then you're probably going to leave me out. So it has to be simple. And I was praying this afternoon, and the Lord simply told me this. He said, letting me manifest is easy. Letting me manifest is easy. I want you to go with me to Hebrews 11th chapter. And I want to go to the third verse. You know, in my whole theology, understanding of who God is, has been changing for the better over the past 10 years, ever since pastor shifted to apostle. My understanding of who God is has been changing. And I start seeing scriptures a little bit different. You know, I always, if you heard me minister anytime, I always like to use this terminology, apostolic view and pastoral view. Apostolic model view and pastoral model view. What I mean by that is the church has been trying to operate with three gifts. Jesus gave, in Ephesians the 4th chapter, 5 gifts to do 3 things. We've been trying to do those 3 things with 3 gifts. And it's caused us to go in circles. It has caused us to become self-centered. Well, hold on to what I'm saying now. It caused us to become self-centered because now, under the pastoral model, the threefold, yep. Yeah. But I'm going to say that like that. You can catch on to what I'm saying. The threefold would put the emphasis on what they can do for the people. Rather than under the apostolic model of the church, it's about what the fivefold can impart to the people of God so that they can do for themselves. So in doing that, a lot of the Bible has been taught from a pastoral model, meaning everything in the Word of God has been self-centric or put you at the center. You go to God because you need something. We pray because we need God. Or we do this when we need God, or we come to God when we need Him. Rather than under this apostolic model of the church, listen at me, internet, under the apostolic model of the church, it's not about us. It's about God and what He wants to accomplish. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians in the 1st chapter, he's saying, God, I want their eyes to be open so that they may see what is the hope of His calling and what is His inheritance in the saints. Under the pastoral model, we've been reading it as our inheritance. Okay, I know I want the only one. Right? So in it has made letting God manifest difficult. The reason why it made God, allowing God to manifest difficult, is we've been trying to make God manifest instead of allowing Him to manifest. Are you seeing this? All right, it's because God, He created us to allow Him to manifest. We were created to allow Him to manifest. We were created to let God do great things in our lives. That's what you were designed for. You weren't designed to always be fighting battles. You were designed to allow God to manifest and let him fight the battles. So in Hebrews 11th chapter, you're about to see something different here. Hebrews 11th chapter, let's start at the first verse, very familiar scripture. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders, by faith, by it, the elders obtained a good report. Look at verse 3. Here's what I want you to see. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Under the pastoral model, we will read this scripture, and I know I'm not the only one. You're going to understand what I'm saying when I say it in a minute. We will read this scripture and think it's our confessions that was framing the world. We think it's our confessions that were framing our world. But when you really read this scripture, and it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of, let's put it in everyday vernacular, God's word. So this particular, in this particular verse, word is translated rhema. All right, so for those of us who don't understand what rhema is what God is saying. All right, as compared to logos, what God has said, what is written. So in this particular verse, it's saying that the world, through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by what God is saying. So that means, I can prove it to you. This very scripture is written, making direct reference to Genesis, the first chapter. All the times God and God said, and God said, and God said, this happened. God said this for this to happen, and it happened. God said for this to happen, and it happened. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, and these worlds are not just talking about heaven, earth, and hell. It's talking about your world. See, it's talking about your world also. See, allowing God to manifest is about to get real simple, because we have majored in the minor and minored in the major. What I mean by that, we have made confession a major when confession is a minor. And let me explain what I mean by confession is a minor. A confession is a minor because your confession is only to get your mind right. When you wake up in the morning and you read your confessions, that's to get you in the right frame of mind. God always in the right frame of mind. Yes, sir. So you making your confessions is not making God do nothing. It's just preparing you to hear what God is saying. Yes, sir. But based on reading the scripture from a pastoral model, we have thought that our confessions were framing our world. If your confession is framing your world, then Jeremiah 29:11 can be torn out the Bible. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
I know the thoughts that I think towards you, that's God talking to us. I know the thoughts that I think to think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So that means God has already laid out victory for us.
Yes.
And paid for it with his son Jesus dying on the cross. So when we read Hebrews 11 and 3, it says through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what God is saying. What that's really telling us is our world is framed by us hearing what God is asking us to do, hearing what God is telling us to do, and us executing it. Yes, sir. All right, let's watch this. Drop down into verse 6. Watch how this makes sense. Now, watch how this makes sense because we've majored in the minor and minor in the major. What you should be majoring in is training yourself to hear the voice of God. See, we so busy sometimes be confessing and hearing ourselves that we can't take time to hear what God is saying. Is this making sense? So a lot of times we go into prayer and we go through our routine and we praying and we're making all the sound. We're making all the noise. When sometimes it's necessary for us to be quiet and see what God is going to say. How can you ask God a question? You ask God a question and you keep talking. You ask God a question and you keep talking. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they don't let you get in a word edgewise? You can't get in a word. It's frustrating talking to that person. Hebrews 11:6. Watch this. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, why in the world you think it's impossible to please God without faith? All right, let me do this then. Let me do this. Let me make it clear. Go to Romans, the 10th chapter. See, letting God manifest is easy. And I'm going to get to you. Jesus told us the secret. Jesus gave us the secret. But because we've been in such a self-centric mode, we've been trying to make everything apply to us. And so what happens is when you try to make everything apply to you, if you don't hear instructions or if you don't hear wisdom that immediately solves your problem, you're not really prone to do it. Wow. See, when we pray, we're looking for God to give us immediate instructions on what we do to solve our problems. Instead of finding out what God wants. You know, one of the things that I corrected in my life years ago, I stopped asking God, what is his will for my life? I started asking God, what is his will? It opened my mind to receive instructions that might not directly pertain to me. It might not pertain to me. Romans the 10th chapter. Let me get there. Verse 17. It says, so then what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by. Now, once again, that word is translated rhema there. So faith comes by hearing what God is saying. See, you thought it was faith was coming by you reading the Bible. Faith comes from when you hear what God is saying. The objective of Logos is to get you to Rhema. The objective of the Bible is to get you to the voice of God. The objective of you reading and renewing your mind with the Word of God is to open up your ability to recognize God's voice.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So faith comes by hearing what God is saying. So this is why we understand Hebrews 11 and 3. It says, through faith, we understand. Why we understand through faith? Because we understand that faith comes from what God is saying. So by us understanding what God is saying, we now can understand how God is going to frame our world. Now we can understand how God is going to manifest in my life. Because I'm able to pick up on the frequency of his voice. Not only am I able to pick up on his frequency of his voice, but I'm able to execute what he's asking me to do. God is on the edge of the throne, ready to manifest. And he made it so simple. This is why he gave us Hebrews 11, the 11th chapter. He gave us example after example after example. And watch this. Watch this in the Hebrews. Watch this. Watch this in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. None of them were born again. Go read it for yourself. Every example used came out the Old Testament. They didn't have direct access to the Holy Spirit. Who knows what God wants? Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit wasn't on the inside of them. Nor did they have anything to condition their minds to be open to the voice of God. Watch this. I believe we have it better. Because we have the Spirit of truth. We have the Comforter. That, do you know you can't go no deeper in God than the Holy Spirit take you? You can't go no deeper in God than the Holy Spirit takes you. And the Holy Spirit ain't taking you no deeper than your last set of instructions. So we have to major in hearing God's voice. Because if what God is saying is what causes us to frame our worlds, and we can't hear what he's saying. See, I once again, I need you to shift. It's not your confession. It's not your confession that is framing your world. It can be if you're saying what God is saying. See, now watch this. Let's go a little further. You got to be saying what God is saying.
Yes, sir.
When you say what God has said, when you start quoting the Bible to yourself, all you're doing is conditioning your soul and your mind. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is why Apostle is now prophesying to us. Because that is what God is saying. See, so I don't need you to write those prophetic moments down and read them as confessions. Because it's what God is saying. So when you start saying what God is saying, it begins to open up you to what God wants you to do. Is this making sense? Back to Hebrews. See, let God manifest is very easy. See, letting God manifest has nothing to do with your intelligence. It has nothing to do with your talents. It has nothing to do with what you're good at. It has nothing to do with what you can't do. None of that. If that was the case, then God would have will be using talented people and not using untalented people. That's not the case. Here's one thing all of us can do. Every last one of us can do. And this is what the, matter of fact, go to Ephesians the fourth chapter. I want you to see this. Ephesians the fourth chapter, then we go back to Hebrews 11th chapter. Ephesians the fourth chapter. Ephesians the fourth chapter and the 12th verse. The five gifts that Jesus gave were to do these three things. For the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, you see that, right? So now, maturing in God simply means that you no longer need somebody to hold your hand in the spirit. Because remember now, an apostle does. An apostle structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened so all those who are connected can enter in. So there should come a time when the portals of the supernatural are open and you run in. Because you recognize it. As compared to at the beginning, some of us may have to be led. So that means that I don't have to be all the time in the same place with an apostle. Geographically located. All I can recognize when the portals are open in the supernatural. Yes, sir. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So maturity is also one of the ways the port of the supernatural is open is being able to hear the voice of God and recognize the voice of God. Let me say that better. Let me say this better this way. Recognizing the voice of God. Now, the reason why I keep using the word recognize as compared to hear, go to Romans, the 12th chapter. The reason why I use recognize as compared to hearing is because I don't want you to limit the voice of God to decibels or the measurement of sound. I don't want you to limit hearing God to decibels, how loud God get or how small a voice is. It's more important for you to recognize, because Eli had to recognize that God was talking to Samuel, because Samuel couldn't recognize it because he thought it was Eli. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
But the more time Samuel spent with Eli, he matured. He perfected. Which means now he was able to hear the voice of God, or let me say it, recognize the voice of God for himself. And this is important. Why is it important recognizing the voice of God? Because when you recognize the voice of God, you have just got a hold of what God is saying.
Yes.
You're not stuck on what God has said.
Yes.
See, because you're able to hear the voice of God, you don't have to wait till somebody else hear for you. Because as long as you got to have somebody else hear the voice of God for you, they are controlling you. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Now, why should your mind be renewed? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove or recognize. Prove or recognize. The Bible, you reading the Bible, conditions your mind. In other words, what it means to renew your mind. When you spend time with God. When you spend time with God, the more time you spend with God, the easier it becomes to recognize his voice. You can hear God's voice in any situation, at any time. This is why Jesus said, my sheep, John 10:27. See, this is important because we have majored mostly on confession. So we confess it. And a lot of stuff we confessing is logos. Confessing logos is a good thing, but it's only getting your mind conditioned. It's only getting your mind conditioned for rhema. But if you don't know to listen or to be expecting rhema, you're going to be stuck on logos. And Satan wants you to stick with logos. Oh, one of the greatest revelations I heard Apostle talk about was when Jesus was being tempted. And Satan would tempt Jesus, and Jesus would say, it is written. Then the devil said, it is written. But then Jesus shifted on him and said, it is said. Now, how did Jesus know what was said? Because the Holy Spirit began to impart to him what God is saying. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Well, I told you to turn. Did I tell you to turn where? Yeah, John 10, 27. See, I don't want you to major in confession. I want you to major in spending time with God so that you can become comfortable with hearing the voice of God. Other words, pressurized situation don't cause you to change. When situations arise in your life, it's not a matter of panic. It's a matter of, okay, God, what you want me to do? Why do you think Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience, possess ye your soul? He said that because he knew we were going to be facing situations that Satan tries to bring in our lives to cause us to get out of character. When you get out of character, it's hard for you to hear what God is saying because now your mind is running trying to figure it out on your own instead of allowing God to manifest. Jesus said in John the 10th chapter, in the 27th verse, he said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus attributed to never being plucked out of his hand to hearing his voice. So if you can hear the voice of God or recognize the voice of God, it doesn't matter what is going on around you. The 91st Psalm.
Yes,
see, a lot of people be quoting the 91st Psalm, but they won't allow God to manifest.
That's good. That's
why they won't let God manifest? Because they stuck on the logos.
Yeah.
They stuck on confessing the 91st Psalm. And the confession, and when you read the 91st Psalm, all that's doing is conditioning your mind to be open to be able to recognize what God is asking you and telling you to do.
Yes, sir.
Is this making? Is making?
Yes, sir.
He said, "My sheep hear my voice." It's promise is not the right word. It's a correlation. Let me explain what I mean by correlation. You do this, this gonna happen. If you are a sheep, you will hear his voice. Sheep means, Jesus used that illustration because he's talking about a relationship and fellowship, spending time, getting to know each other. He said, those that get to know me
they're going to hear my voice. They that get to know me, they're going to recognize my voice. Not the ones that let somebody else tell them, let somebody else tell them about me. So don't you come in church and keep letting the apostle tell you about Jesus. Because his job is to tell you about Jesus and position you.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. The apostle Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ. Do you know what the ultimate goal for that is? So that he can get you to recognize Christ just like he recognized Christ. Jesus said, my sheep. He said in John 8:32, you should know the truth. When? Go ahead and turn there. John 8 chapter. 8:32. Yes, sir. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When? Oh, it's there. See, when we read the Bible from a pastoral model or a pastoral or self-centered point of view, we don't read it in context. Because we pick out what sounds good to us and what makes us feel good. But if you go to that 31st verse, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, followers, indeed, and ye shall know the truth. So what you think the truth is? The truth is what God is saying. The truth is what God is saying. And that's what's going to make you free. Because there's a lot of children of God who know the logos. Because they read in the 32nd verse, but they're not reading the 31st verse. And so they cool with the logos. And so in their mind, they free, but on the outside, they not. Their lives don't show it. He say, if you continue in my word, spend time with me. See, your confession and you making your confession is not you spending time with him. You confessing your confessions is not you spending time with him. That's you getting your mind right so you can spend time with it. See, we watch this. Watch what happened to the pastoral model of the church. We have gotten so self-centric that we have made reading our confession devotion. And our confession is not devotion. Our confession is getting our mind right so that we can get into devotion. So we can meditate. So we can spend time with God. Because I got to be able to hear the voice of God. And listen, hearing the voice of God is a learned behavior. It is not a gift. If it was a gift, then some of us would be in trouble. If it was a gift that God just set on some people and didn't set on others, no, it's not a gift. Hearing God is a learned behavior. Anybody can hear the voice of God. But the issue is you got to spend time with him to learn his voice and to be able to recognize his voice. And that's where we trip up at. Because we get distracted in our self-centered devotionals. Sometimes it should be just you, the word of God, and him. Sometimes it should be just you, the word of God, and him. Why? Because I'm training myself to hear the voice of God.
So, all right, so, Leroy Jr., explain to me what you mean by hearing the voice of God or recognize the voice of God. What I mean by that is when you renew your mind with the word of God, that's why the Bible says hide the word of God in your heart. That's why the Bible also say in Joshua 1:8, meditate. When you meditate means to mull the word of God over and over, to think about it, to break it apart, to ask questions about the word. What this mean? What that mean? What was he saying? What setting was he in? What was he doing? All of that so that, watch this, so that your mind can be expanded. When your mind becomes expanded, renewed, just simply means expanded, when it's renewed, now you go throughout the day and God could be talking to you through a coworker that don't even know him. But something on the inside of you calls you to recognize that's the voice of God. Let me hear what they got to say. And they don't know what they're saying. It could be a generic conversation and all of a sudden your antenna go up. The Holy Spirit alerts you and now they start giving you answers. You could be sitting in the movies and a line in a movie jump out at you and that's your answer. That's recognition. See, God has to operate like that. So watch this. God operates like that so that you won't be in control. See, if God had to come to you in a certain way every time for you to recognize him, that means you're in control and he's not. But when you yield and you humble and you submit yourself unto God, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, he'll do what? Exalt you. When you submit yourself and you yield, it's putting God in control. And so God knows better than any of us how to get information to us. That's what I mean by hearing or being able to recognize the voice of God. It's not about decibels. It's not about the audible voice of God. God will talk out. Matter of fact, watch this. Go to Hebrews. Can you just see this? This is going to be take me a little time to do this, but this you're going to go to Hebrews, back to the 11th chapter. Watch this. God gave us examples after examples after examples. I want you to see this. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Hebrews 11th chapter, the 7th verse. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You see that, right? He said, by faith. So let's break it down. By faith. What does that mean? We know that faith comes by hearing by the word of God, right? Go with me to Genesis, the 6th chapter. Genesis, the 6th chapter. Genesis, the 6th chapter. And the 13th verse. First three words. And God did what? So at that particular moment in time, Hebrews 11 and 7 says, by faith, Noah did certain things, right? Yeah. So we go and look at what Noah did, and it all started off with what? So Noah, Noah in that moment was listening and hearing what God is saying. He was hearing what God is saying. If we'd have put ourselves back in that time and God spoke, that was what God is saying. So other words, listen to this. In other words, Noah was hearing Rhema. Now if it's possible for Noah, who didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who didn't have a new covenant, who didn't have the blood of Jesus to wash away all his sins. He had to burn animals. He had to do all these things to get sacrifice, to get his redemption. If he could hear Rhema, but the pastoral model, the church has caused it to become us to become so self-centered that we're not even looking for Rhema. We stuck on the logos and our confessions. When it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what God is saying. I can't frame my world by what God has said. Because I'm not in the past. I'm in the present. So I need to know what God is saying. So that's why Satan don't bother you when you're reading your confessions. Satan don't bother you when you're reading your confession. When Satan start bringing distractions is when you start meditating and start getting into the Holy of Holies where God can talk to you. That's when he start bringing up distractions. That's when all of a sudden you get busy. That's when the phone start ringing. Because Satan don't want you to know what God is saying. Because once you find out what God is saying, you can now do it. And once you do it, nothing can stop God from manifesting. Can you imagine when they put that blood over the doorpost? When they put that blood over the doorpost, it couldn't, nothing, the angel, the death angel had to pass over. The death angel couldn't stop if he wanted to. Watch this. It could have been the dirtiest low-down person in there. And because they had what God is saying, the death angel had to pass over. Now imagine you living right and getting rhema. See, so I need you to understand this because Apostle is shifting from just teaching us to now prophesying to us. So he is giving us a jump, a head start on what God is saying. Whether you know it or not, your life is changing for the better in this moment. So you go back and listen that Sunday and realize this ain't the apostle just teaching us. This is him prophesying to us. This is what God is saying. Now, when you recognize what God is saying, it opens the door for God to say more to you. Exactly. And watch this. Watch what happened. Apostle gives us a prophetic word. When we go back and begin to study and meditate and say those prophetic words over ourselves, what God is going to do is begin to personalize it. Personalize it to where now it opens the door for you to be able to hear God concerning your life. So now you open the door for God to use you. Do you realize when God uses you, you allowing him, he can't come. Go to John the 15th chapter. God can't come and back his word up in your life on his agenda without taking care of your stuff. Because God is all encompassing. If God shows up anywhere, everything that's not going right in that vicinity is going to turn right. So every time you let God manifest in your life on his behalf, when he shows up to accomplish what he wants in earth realm through your life, everything that's not going right in your life got to straighten up. Because when he shows up, everything turns right. This is why you have to open your mind up to hearing God's voice, not just about your situation. John 15. Verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring more fruit. That's maturity. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Jesus is really saying, you can't take care of your situations on your own. Quit trying. Just come and bow to me. See, he said the same thing in Matthew 11, 28. Take my yoke. Come learn of me. What he said, for my yoke is
easy
and my
burden
is light. Let me close here. Let me watch this. Well, I want to show you this. Jesus gave the answer. Jesus gave the answer and made it so easy. Go to John, the 12th chapter, verse 49. Now, if it's good enough for Jesus to do, Jesus made it simple. Jesus made it very simple. You don't really hear too much about Jesus confessing. No. And none of y'all walk out of here and said, I told y'all not to confess. Do your confessions. That ain't what I said. And if you say, Apostle, I said that, I'm going to call you a bald-faced liar. That ain't what I said. But we have made confession a major. John 12 and verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself. Just Jesus talking. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. This Jesus. Jesus ain't going around saying everything. I'm only saying what the Father tell me to say. Now watch this. Some of y'all get so super spiritual, man, and say you ain't talking to nobody unless Jesus tell you to talk to somebody. That's not what he was saying. Jesus was saying when it comes to dealing with situations, when it comes to me doing what God is asking me to do, I ain't about to take a confession and replace it over a prophecy. Jesus said, I'm going to say what the Father says. I'm going to say what the Father tell me to say. All right? Watch this. Another one. Go to John 5. John 5. Verse 19. Well, look at verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He said, my Father work, and I work. Jesus said, I work. He said, my Father work, and I work. Right? Then he goes to verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, These also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. Jesus is telling us how to manifest, allow God to manifest. He's telling us, I ain't saying but what the Father tell me to say. In other words, don't you speak to a situation until you get rhema on it. All right, okay. When you speak to a situation without rhema, what you're doing is what the seven sons of Sceva did. When you speak to a situation without rhema, you're doing exactly what, and for those of you who don't know what the seven sons of Sceva is, ask what? Acts 19. That demon looked at them seven sons of Sceva and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know, but who are you? The situation, your situation, when you speak your situation without rhema, your situation say, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know. No, in our situation, what he says is, Jesus, I know, apostle, I know. You have been designed and created to speak like God speak. You have been designed and created to walk the earth as God walks the earth. Issue is, you can't do it without him. You can't, what I mean, do it without him. You can't do it without knowing what he wants to do. See, God is not here to back up your word. That's where we get in trouble with confessions. God only backs up his word. And you have to get in agreement with what he is saying. You can't get in agreement with what he is saying unless you can recognize what he is saying. So this is why you have to spend time with the Father. Spend time with the Holy Spirit so that you can begin to recognize the voice of God under pressure. Can you, listen, how know you can hear God under pressure? Because Daniel did it. They made a law saying you pray again if you want to. Pray again if you want to. And you go in that, and you go in that den with them lying. Daniel wasn't fazed at all. Because he had a surety from God. He was communicating with God. So I'm prone to believe. This is just me now. I'm prone to believe. It's just me with my imagination. I'm prone to believe that in one of them three prayers he prayed per day, God told him, Daniel, don't worry about nothing. I'm going to shut them lions' mouths. Yeah. Now, you can use your own imagination. That's just what I believe. So Daniel went in the lion's den with no issues at all. All from the voice of God. Apostle is positioning us to be able to hear the voice of God for ourselves. So watch this. Here's a little self-reflection. I'm closing here. Here's a self-reflection. If you question your ability to, remember, hearing the voice of God is a learned behavior. Yes, sir. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep, those that follow me, hear my voice. Right? Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free, set you free. Right? So if you're questioning your ability to hear from God, that means you ain't spent enough time. Come on, let's self-reflect. See, this, come on, this is where maturity comes in at. This is where I have to look in the mirror. If I question myself and my ability to hear from God, that simply means, listen to me, Internet, that simply means I'm not spending enough time. Yeah. So I need to spend more time. I got to get out of my routine in my 15 minutes. Yeah.
every day. I got to get out of my routine today, because obviously, if I'm questioning if I can hear the voice of God, then that 15-minute routine ain't working. If I'm questioning my ability to hear from God, then that means I'm not spending enough time. So I got to go back to the drawing board. Sometimes on the weekend, I got to stay there till God say something to me. So I know I'm hearing God's voice. And watch this. The reason why the Bible tells us to renew our mind is because now you can recognize what is God saying and what God ain't saying. See, let me tell y'all something. This is going to be very needful in these last days. Because we got some preachers saying a whole lot of stuff. We got a lot of preachers saying some whole lot of stuff and doing a whole lot of stuff. So you have to recognize what is God and what ain't God. You can't always be looking at somebody else and what their opinion. What you think he did? Don't ask me what I think he did. What you think he did? Do you think what he did was right? Go read your Bible. Do you think what she did was right? Go read your Bible. Go meditate. Go spend some time with God. So that you can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that somebody agree, listen, let me tell y'all something. Every last one of us gonna have a Garden of Gethsemane moment. Do you know what I mean when I say a Garden of Gethsemane? Nobody believed in what Jesus was about to do. He had to go in the Garden of Gethsemane and pray, and he said, nevertheless. So he had to have God's voice. First of all, he had to be able to recognize God's voice, and God talked to him and said, son, this is what I want you to do. Sometimes there ain't going to be no confirmation. Sometimes it just ain't going to be there. But because you spend time with God, you don't need no confirmation. That woman at Zarephath ain't had no confirmation. She had no confirmation. That man of God walked up to her and said, go bake me a cake first. She had to make a decision. Did I hear from God or did I not? She couldn't be doubting herself that she hear from God. Is this making sense? So we have to begin to major in what we've been having model, which is spending time with God, not going to God with our confessions. Set your confessions on the side sometimes. Yeah. Confessions are wonderful. They're wonderful to get your mind right. But they're horrible at trying to change situations. Remember now, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Your world is framed by what God is saying. I need you to be the catalyst to transition from God's thoughts to action. Okay. Transition from God's thoughts to your actions. Knowing what he wants, hearing his voice. That's how the transition happens. When you're able, because God, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. The transition from that to execution is being able to hear his voice. So I want you to begin to hear. And it's so wonderful that we see the reason why this is easy for you to understand and easy for you to receive is because we have a culture that Apostle has created in which he hears from God. I don't know if y'all noticed this. Apostle sometimes had to spit out his notes so fast because he don't know if he's going to get back to him. Now, the reason why he don't know if he's going to get back to him is because when he go back and talk to God again, God saying something that's totally different. So that's why he be spitting out his notes and saying, let me hear him finish. Let me get this out. Let me read this to you. Because he know already. God going to start talking to him about something else, about what somebody else need. I need to minister this.
So this is why the prophetic is so important, so that it can jumpstart you. Jumpstart you to be able to hear God for yourself. Not just rely on somebody else to hear God for you, but you can hear God for yourself. Lift your hand if you need an offering.